Morning, everyone. Really good to be together. Yeah, so thankful for that, what God did in worship, man. Siaku grabbed the microphone and just sang Psalm 84. And if you read Psalm 84, the guy's going, I'm so hungry. He's saying, like, I would rather, like, hang out in the stoop of God's house for one day than be in a thousand days in luxury and convenience. If you read, he actually says, he thinks of birds, like little swallows, who would make a nest in God's house. And he goes, oh, they're so lucky. Yes, and we get it freely, friends, because of what Jesus has done. Like, I think that's what Aaron's word made, what made it so powerful is, like, we can just walk into God's presence because of God's grace. And may we never lose a wonder of that. It's so precious. So, oh, thank you, Spirit. Okay, so we're on a series called Woven Together, all about the nature of church life and how God has woven us together. As he's woven together the parts of our body, he's woven us together as a body. And it's such a privilege. And so maybe start off with a story. In September 2012, one of my best school friends called me. He was really lazy at school. And it's 10 years after I finished matric. And so I was 29. And he said, Eugene, I'm going to do the comrades next year in June. Join me. So I was quite a competitive runner, distance runner in high school. But for 10 years, I hadn't done any running, basically. And I'd also gotten married and eaten a lot of my wife's food. So I was a bit heavier, and I just didn't have the muscle tone for running anymore. But I had more courage and brains, and I said yes. And it meant I had 9 months to go from zero to 90 kilometers. And so I started training. And because I didn't have the running background at that stage, I just had to cram in kilometers. And so my body wasn't being built up correctly. I mean, we speak about guys going to gym and bodybuilding. Like the same for running. You need certain muscle tone. You need your glutes to be strong. You need your quads to be strong. You need different parts of your body to work together. And I was just going out running. I didn't have the time. I had 3 children. I was going to go to a gym and strengthen certain muscles. It was going to happen. And so as I started training, come April, 2 months before the comrades, I picked up an injury in my left leg because I hadn't built up my body. But I sort of forced my way through it, got to the day in Durban, and just ran it. And after, I think, 20 kilometers, the injury went again. And again, because I've got too much courage and not enough brains, I just pushed through. I remember this beautiful moment. So I had to run like this. So I looked like a real sight, and the comrades, you've got your name on your number. So I was running, and I saw this lady on the side of the road, and she looked at me, and her face went like this. And she saw that I saw her. She went, go Eugene! Go Eugene! And because I was running like that the whole time, my right leg had to do a lot more work. So I finished. But for 2 years, I couldn't run because I'd injured my right leg. Just because my body wasn't built up. Ephesians 4:16. From whom Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together. Held together means woven together in some translation. By every joint with which it is equipped, talking about the church, the body of Christ. When each part is working properly, makes a body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so the one who wove together our physical bodies is the one who is weaving together this body. And it's the same principle as what I experienced. When a certain part of your body isn't built up, you'll struggle, you'll limp. And when I say you, we. And it says there, if you put that up again, it's actually us doing the building up. It's not just Jesus, it's us. The body will make itself grow up. It'll build itself up. And so one of the primary ways, this whole chapter, Ephesians 4, is actually about the church, the body, and the gifts that God has given. And one of the primary ways we get built up is through gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 8, a couple of verses earlier. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And the whole purpose of gifts is to build up the body so that we wouldn't be like Eugene, limping and being an ugly sight along the way. Because we've got a job. Christ has given us a mandate to make disciples of nations. And we're going to do it. Whether that's in St. Francis or Kamani or right here, we're going to make disciples of nations. But we can't be limping along. And so by his grace, he's given us gifts. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit this morning, which is such a crucial part of just being a body of believers. So we're going to read a passage in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read a chunky bit of scripture. Are you ready for this? Okay, put on your big boy pants. We're going to read about 20 verses together. We're reading New Living Translation. Just makes it a bit more readable for all of us. And may the word of God, we command it to the public reading of scriptures. And we don't do that enough. So this is it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 1. Along the way, I'm skipping out one or two verses. I've made sure it doesn't alter the meaning of the text as far as I can. Okay. Verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does a work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It's for the common good. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives a gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. May God just bless the reading of his powerful and wonderful word, man. It's beautiful, eh? Paul writing to a local church and saying, God has given gifts. Why? Not for you, but for the church, for the building up. So this body would become beautiful. And in this passage, he mentions 9 specific gifts. Not all the gifts, there are more, but he mentions 9 specific gifts. And what I'd love to do to start off with is just go through these gifts and just talk about them. Because if the Spirit in his infinite wisdom has decided to give us gifts, we need all of them. We can't be built, we can't just be a body with eye. We'd be a monstrosity. And we can't do what God has given us. We need all the gifts. So I'm going to go through them and hopefully just give a little example for each one just to make us aware of the beauty of this. Okay, so the first gift that is mentioned is the gift of wisdom. The ability to find a way forward when it feels like we're stuck. Now, because these gifts are gifts of grace, unmerited, it means you don't need to be clever or educated. In fact, most of the time, our cleverness and our education gets in the way of God's wisdom. And so the church needs us, because sometimes we can be stuck. We don't exactly know what's the way forward, whether it's as a church as a whole or a community. And then God gives someone the ability to know the way forward. So a couple of weeks ago, we had an eldership meeting. Our wives are part of our meetings. They're fully giving all their thoughts and opinions and input. And we were talking about some of the shifts happening in our communities. And we just got stuck. We just didn't know where to go. And we were on the point of just going, let's just give up. And then Carmen Farragher, bless his soul, ate her jungle oats that morning, full of the Holy Spirit. Probably in 20 seconds, said two or three things. And we were all like, la. The heavens opened, and that's the way forward. Thank God. There was a gift of wisdom in action, and it meant we didn't need committees and subcommittees. We had the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that could direct us. Thank God. Isn't that beautiful? Second one is a gift of knowledge. So that is the ability to say something that only God knows. And we saw that in action last week. So Vince was here preaching about the kingdom of God among us. He asked a couple of people to pray, and he himself prayed and just said, because he doesn't know us, he said, God, will you help me? And he released a couple of words from the front. I can't remember all of them, but some of them would have been like, maybe you've got a pain in your shoulder. So that's something he couldn't know if someone here had a pain in his shoulder. But God revealed it to him, and he brings it. He's just a faithful steward of the gift. And someone who maybe goes, yeah, I do have a pain in my shoulder. We can pray. And that person can be healed. Again, it's just God's kindness. Now, I think just at this point, we've only done two gifts. Could God do it by himself? Totally. But he's chosen to work through us. A theologian once summed it up, and it's one of my favorite sayings. Without him, we can't. And without us, he won't. He's chosen to work through us into each other's lives. It's part of his divine wisdom and grace. Okay, third gift, the gift of faith. So sometimes we can get faith fatigue. We just reach a place where we're just not even sure if God can do this. We've been trusting, we've been hoping, and then someone can come in and just with a fresh faith go, God can do it. And it just does something in us that says, yes, God can do it. Let's go. So one of the places I've experienced this is I was quite involved with the building, the reconstruction of the base, which was an Admiral's restaurant. We bought it. We had to demolish the whole thing pretty much except the shell and then build. And in God's grace, I think he hid from us how much it was going to cost. We thought it was going to be like, we honestly thought with 400,000 rand, we'd be able to do everything we needed to there. And it was at least 10 times as much. And I'm so thankful. God, in his grace, I really do believe he hid it from us because I don't think we would have had the faith for it. But as we were midway through this project, guys in the church had just been faithful, full of faith, been giving. People had sold things to give to the building fund. And we just reached a bit of faith fatigue. And a guy called Will Murray came from Josh Chen. Will Murray sadly passed away, but just he planted a couple of churches. He was an incredible man. He had a gift of faith. And he just came and preached amongst us. And it was just like you could feel like it's like a balloon being inflated. You could just feel. And I mean, I was managing our finances. I could see our income, our building fund income had been plateauing or going down. And I was like, why did it go up so much in May? I was like, oh yeah, Will. He was here. And it just spiked. Will just had this ability to infuse faith, gift of faith. I remember in prayer meetings, he had this thing, like if someone prays and says, God, would you just provide for us? Will would shout out, why not? And I've actually adopted that sometimes. I love that. It's like, yeah, why not? He's the God of the ages. He made everything. He keeps everything. He'll return one day. Why not? And it's a gift we need. So that was the third one. Okay, gift of healing. So we all pray for people to be healed, and sometimes we see results. But there is this gift of healing where some people just see more results. They just see more people being healed. And so we've had a guy called Jonathan Conrath come to Auction Life sometimes from England, a well-known evangelist, and he just has this gift of healing as well. And so when we had the Tramways building, we rented it out, got people to come there, and he would just pray for people, and that we saw miraculous healings. And it's such a powerful gift for sharing the good news about Jesus, because if you're not a believer, you can have all kinds of theological arguments. Why is there so much pain in the world? How can I believe in a God I don't see? But if you have an injured knee and God heals you in that moment, your arguments evaporate very quickly. And so thank God for this gift. We need this gift among us. And may we have more of those among us in Western Suburbs. Gift of miracles. I think it's the fifth one now, hey? No, sixth, fourth one. I don't know. Gift of miracles. And so this is even, I mean, healing in a sense would be miracles, but this is beyond that even. If you think of Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had, the disciples had, a couple of loaves of Sasco Sam, a couple of bokoms, and fed 5,000. I do have a friend that he witnessed something like this. He was on a ministry trip to Zimbabwe, and they were inviting a lot of people. They had like a pot of soup. And I think he said 200 people. They were dishing, and it just wasn't going down. And he saw a miracle like that. There's a lady, I wanted to get more info of her testimony. She's still alive. She's in PE. A lady that was blind. I can't remember her name now. And God healed her blindness. To a point where she had brand new eyes. Like when you've got brand new eyes as a little baby, you've got blue eyes quite often. Her eyes were in a different color. And she actually became the head of the Blind Society. What an incredible thing, eh? Someone who was properly blind, like couldn't see a thing, could see. I mean, we need that, man. Okay, gift of prophecy. I'm not going to number them. I've lost my count completely. And what the gift of prophecy would be is just an immediately inspired word from God. Not necessarily future related. We often think of prophecy just as one day you'll get a job as a minister in so-and-so in 5 years. No, it's a word from God. Sometimes it is that, but it's a word from God. And it's one of the most necessary gifts. This one gets a lot of attention. So a little bit later in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul actually orders him. He says, first, apostles. Second, prophets. So the reason we give this a bit more prominence is it's a key gift for the growth of the church. That's why we had the prophetic training with Brandon and Mandy Watson a couple of weeks ago. So that we can see more of the prophetic come out. And even some of our worship this morning was due to some prophetic words or prophetic songs even coming out. So we need this because we are following the word of God. The living word of God, by the way. Not the 2,000 years to get back written word of God. We follow that as well. But we follow the living word. And we need the Holy Spirit. And so the prophetic gift helps us go down this. When I was 19 and I first encountered this gift, it had a radical impact on my life. There was a lady who was a well-known prophetic gift. She's the first one who ever prophesied over me. And she did not know me at all. She'd never spoken to me. And she started saying things about me that was 100% accurate. So she got my attention. And then she started speaking things over me and where I was going to be and even timelines. So she even said, like, this is going to happen 2 years, but God doesn't really work in years. So maybe, but it was exactly 2 years. And it didn't orientate my life necessarily. I didn't chase after those things. But along the way, I'm going like, I'm walking in God's will. He's giving me guidelines all the way through. And so we need this gift. Okay, discernment of spirits. This is such a beautiful gift. So what it is the ability to know if something is from God, from flesh, from the devil. So this is especially helpful in deliverance ministry to know what are we dealing with here. But I actually encountered this a couple of years ago. I was in a church meeting. Someone came up and shared a testimony. And the beginning of the testimony was great. And then it just became a bit odd. And you could feel things shifting almost like in the room. And I do afterwards get up and try and balance it out. And Katrine Estreisen, who's in the Warmer PM congregation, after she was at that meeting, and I phoned her. I was like, Katrine, like, something was off. And she just starts, she has a gift of discernment of spirits, actually. Just started sharing what she had picked up in the spirit. And she could just go, that wasn't the spirit of God. And she said, Eugene, that was a haughty spirit. Now, Katrine is very Afrikaans. There's no way she probably even knows what haughty means. I don't even know what haughty means. I had to go look it up. But it was an arrogant, boastful spirit that was just like trying to distract us. And thank God for the spirit, because it means we can identify where it is. This is not from God. We can treat it as that and get back to following Jesus. Because the devil would want us to be distracted. And this discernment of spirit's gift is just helping us in the right direction. So thankful for it. The gift of tongues, which is just languages. Thank goodness in Afrikaans, it's been translated as tale, which is languages. That's what it is. And here there's a bit of variety. There is, 1 Corinthians 14 talks about just in your own quiet times for yourself, you can speak in another language. Part of the purpose is, when you're praying in another language, a heavenly language, your mind isn't as involved when you're praying. You're not being distracted by your own thoughts and where things are going. And so you can be built up. And so, by the way, this is the only gift that has an element of building yourself up. All the other gifts exclusively are focused on other people, but this one has an element that's for you. But then, we saw this in one of our gatherings, our last gathering in Jeffreys Bay earlier this year. Someone from Isle of Man was with us. This guy has a gift of tongues. He felt like God wanted to pray this tongue over the microphone, so we gave him a microphone. He prayed something that none of us understood in the natural. But there were people with a gift of interpreting tongues amongst us. And so could bring this word of God. And it was unfiltered in a sense, not influenced by my thinking and my bends and my leanings. Like, these are the gifts God has given us. So I've gone through those 9 quickly. And I've given a story for each one to say, these gifts are for today. They are for now. Vince mentioned this last week, but if you love theology and you're reading things and you're watching things that say the gifts ended in the first century, stop watching it. Stop reading it. Because what is the purpose of the gifts? To equip and build up. So any argument that says we don't need the gifts anymore is saying we don't need equipping and building up. And that is untrue. And then Ephesians 4:13 says, these gifts will be in operation until we reach unity, until we reach maturity to the point of being like Jesus. Are we fully unified? No. Then we need the gifts. Are we so mature we're just like Jesus? No. We need the gifts. And they're so crucial for us. They're so, so crucial. So, what are some of the other gifts mentioned in the New Testament? Apostolic, teaching, helps or service. Administration. Do you know that administration is a gift? Thank God for people who are gifted in administration. Thank God. We've got people in this. I mean, Tyler is such a gift. Where's Tyler? She's such a gift of administration. Serena's a gift. She's overseeing all the excellence on a Sunday. Is such a gift in administration. She can organize a haunt at the boss. And thank God for that gift. And it's got to be, it has to be spirit-full, because church life is so flexible. It's not a natural gift of administration. All 3 of those ladies I've mentioned are actually naturally gifted administration. But I worked in the church office for many years. And you've got all your systems in place. It's perfectly set out. You've got your RSVP dates, your deadlines, your budgets. And then Brad says, 100 more people are coming. And then you chuck all those things out and go, thank you, Jesus, for new people. It's a gift. Thank God. The other gifts, encouragement, giving, leading, mercy, evangelism, pastoral. They're just so critical for us as a church. And I'm hoping, even as I went through those gifts, that it's igniting something in you that's going, ooh, I want that gift. Or maybe you're going, like I went through this just going like, sure, there's a couple of these gifts. I don't know if we have them amongst us. And if we don't have them, it's a problem. And I don't think it's God's unwillingness to give the gifts. He's willing. The problem is more on our side. Are we available? Okay. So you might be asking, well, how do I qualify for gifts? What's the process here? And it's actually pretty straightforward. If you are sitting here and you're going, I want one of the gifts. I want to be gifted. The first thing is, well, you have to be part of the body. The gifts are for the building up of the body. So that means you have to be a follower of Jesus. You have to be a believer. You have to have somewhere in your life gone, I'm a sinful rebel. I need forgiveness. I'm on my way to hell. But Jesus died on the cross for me. And he offers complete forgiveness. And I accept that. I trust him completely. I repent. I believe. And you can be part of the body. It's not super complicated. Thank God for that. So the first thing is, like, are you a believer? Are you a follower of Christ? And then the second one is, well, Jesus in the book of Acts, he talks to the disciples, and they were followers of Christ. But he says to them, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. So you can be a believer, a follower of Jesus, and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are wanting to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us. And so I would say to you, if you're not sure if you're full of the Spirit, we can pray for you today. It's not complicated. As it was, there's so many chapters. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter has some chapters on the gifts. There's so much on the gifts. And the more I read it, the more convinced I am, it's not supposed to be complicated. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you're filled with the Spirit, you probably already have some gifts operating in you. You might just not know it. Okay, and we're going to talk about that as well. Then I'd say the third thing is, God has commanded us something interesting. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet. But when it comes to the gift, there's a beautiful exception. God says we must covet. You know that. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Earnestly desire is like a jealousy. It's coveting. It's saying, like, I want that. And so God honors that desire. Like, I want that, Father. Listen, 1 Corinthians 12 says, like, it's according to his desires. Like, he gives, but he's saying, covet it, desire it. God, like, I see someone with a prophetic gift, and I can see the impact, and oh, would you give it to me? And if he says no, he says no. But we instructed to desire it, to covet it. And I do think, if I'm honest, like, as a congregation in Western Suburbs, so in 1 Corinthians, whole book of 1 Corinthians is written to a church that was operating too much in gifts. They were selfish. They were just gifts everywhere. I don't think we're there. I'm a lot more nervous if we're on the other side of the spectrum, where we actually have a bit of an inferiority complex. Like, no, it's not for me. Like, there's some of those guys. They can do it. And I actually think God would love us to have a little bit of a holy cheekiness. Going, God, not for my sake, but for your sake, will you give me the gifts? Will you increase my gifting? Now, maybe this is almost like a word of warning in a sense. The devil always tries to counterfeit. And so the devil would enable other people to do things that are, in a sense, supernatural. But it's never free. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to bring freedom. Absolute freedom. So when the gifts are in operation, through the power of Jesus Christ, we will be set free. So, how do you know what gifts you have? Now, what's interesting, as I've read through these passages this week, it's very clear that there's not a method for knowing. And I think that's really important. I think there's not a clear method for knowing what gift you have. because it'll be really obvious. I think it's that simple. I think if you have a gift of prophecy, a gift of teaching, it will be obvious to you and to the people around you. Here's a gift in operation. So you don't need all kinds of systems necessarily. But I do think God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us a community of believers. And so we can work together in discerning. So one of the ways sometimes people also discern is through questionnaires. Some of us who've been around for a while, you would see sort of those questionnaires that sort of try and figure out what gift you have. Now, I do think they could have some value. But there's also a caution I'd just like to throw in there. Sometimes those questionnaires are personality questionnaires. And it ties a personality type with a gift. And if the gift of the Spirit is by grace and by power, it won't necessarily be connected to a personality type. So if you are a really creative person, there's a good chance that questionnaire would say, hey, you've got a prophetic gift. Now, we've often seen prophetic people be quite creative because I think they've got a bigger, they don't have boxes. And so they open to the uniqueness of Christ. But that doesn't mean you have to be really good at drawing or be super creative to be prophetic. It's definitely beyond that. Sometimes people who are super academic, it's like, oh, they've got a teaching gift. Not necessarily. Just because you love reading doesn't mean you've got a teaching gift. When you speak, do people go, I understand. It was complicated, but now I understand. Versus knowing all the ins and outs of theology. Gift of wisdom. That questionnaire might just go like, if you've got a strong opinion and you like sharing it, it doesn't mean you've got the gift of wisdom. It just means you've got an opinion and you like sharing it. And possibly wisdom would be sharing your opinion a little bit less. What's that old saying? An opinion is like a backside. Everyone has it and most of it stinks. Or everyone has one and most of it stinks. Hey, something like that. So why don't you rather... If you're going, okay, how do I know what gift I have? Why don't you start serving? Why don't you start helping our kids ablaze? And if you've got a teaching gift, it'll become apparent. Why don't you, during worship, go, God, how do you want to use me? And maybe He gives you a prophetic word. Maybe He gives you a word of knowledge. Maybe you've got this desire to pray in a language that you don't quite understand. And you come to the front, and it will quickly become apparent. I mean, community is such a great training ground for this. And all it needs from us is availability and a little bit of faith, a mustard seed size. Just going, I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to see how God wants to use me. And if you fail, it's okay. We are going to be okay. Paul says, we see in part and we prophesy in part. It means sometimes when someone brings a prophetic word, it's going to be wrong. They haven't committed the unforgivable sin. You go, okay, I didn't eat my jungle oats this morning. That's what happened. And I'm going to keep trying. And I'm going to keep growing. And God's going to keep using me. So just get going. Get active. Say, God, will you use me? Wake up in the morning going, not just in your quiet time, God, what do you want to say to me? God, what do you want to say to others? And then in your community, with those around you, it'll start becoming apparent what's on you. Okay, let's quickly, 4 or 5 minutes, let's talk about growing and not growing gifts. Okay, so Paul says to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that's been given to you. So if we've been given a gift, we can neglect it. In other words, not use it. I was thinking about this morning, it's a bit like if your dad gives, as a student, your dad gives you a car to get to university, and you decide to leave it in the garage and just walk to university every day, you're neglecting the gift that's been given to you. But actually, that's not a very helpful analogy because that only affects you. If your dad gave you a gift of a car to drop your brothers and sister off at school on the way to university, and you decide, I'm going to leave it in the garage and walk to university, that's a better analogy. Because now other people are affected. And so if we don't use a gift, if we neglect a gift, who's most affected, you or us? It's us. And we can disqualify ourselves and go like, I'm not that gifted. I'm not. But we are feeling it. And someone else is potentially having to pick up a load that you're not carrying. And so what's happening is it becomes like me and the comrades. Instead of being a body that's been built up with healthy glutes, it's now a guy hunkapunking. And that's actually pretty serious. And this morning I did feel like God wants us to be a little bit afraid, actually. Because if we're not walking in what God has given us, we struggle as a body. And I think the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 is really relevant for us here. Because it's someone got 5 talents, someone got 2 talents, units of money, and one guy got 1. The one with 5 used it and had another 5 that he brought to the master and said, here's 10. The one who had 2 had another 2, and there was 4. And the one with 1 talent, what did he do? Said, well, I know you're going to come back. So what I did was I wrapped it up and I buried it. What did Jesus say to that one? You wicked and slothful servant. And those words actually just have to make us feel a little bit nervous, like a holy nervousness, a holy fear of going, God, if you've given me something and I've disqualified myself, I need to repent quickly and come back into alignment with what God has. So let me land with this. Paul does say to Timothy, fan into flame the gifts. It means if God has given us gifts, we can fan it into flame. We can keep using it and growing it, like those servants with the talents. The 5 talents became 10 talents. And then the guy who had the 1, Jesus says, take it away and give it to the guy who has 10. In other words, the biblical principle is, if you're faithful with little, God will give you much. And so that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want us to be there like the wicked servant. He wants us to be like the guy with 10 talents. Going like, I see a faithful steward. I see someone who's available. I'm going to keep blessing. I'm going to keep giving. And praise God for that. We need this, guys. We need a little bit of holy cheekiness. Someone saying, God, use me. So that we will be built up. So that we will be able to make disciples of nations. And can you remember what Jesus said to the faithful servants? Because this should motivate us. Matthew 25, 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The greatest privilege of these gifts that Jesus will have you in his hands and use you. And we can enter into the joy of our master.